Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Kleifeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we've got Matt Kai-Burmaster, the founder of the Fearless app, a streaming service that gives independent artists, filmmakers, shorts, a chance to tell their own story. Matt, hello. Matt Kai, hello.
Hey, how is everything over there today?
Everything is fine and dandy. We've got a full moon over the beach. I'm staring at it right now. And you're in New York. And let's see. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself? And we'll get started.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I started out as a filmmaker, as an actor originally. And basically, I was kind of not happy with the options of where I could put my content after I made it. So first I made a couple short films, and then I kind of was looking into platforms, and I realized that for independent filmmakers and independent stories, you really have the option of kind of going in the route of the Amazon Prime that kind of takes everything, or you can kind of pitch it to the big networks like Netflix or Hulu, or you can use one of these independent services, which I didn't think was doing justice of showcasing inclusivity in the way that we should be doing it. So
right.
I created my own. I created it with Deanna Widmeyer, who I studied with at Seneca College. And together we started this about 3.5 years ago, and now it's really starting to take off. So it's pretty exciting.
Right. For my listeners who aren't familiar with what we're talking about, Fearless is an app. It's not a streaming service on your TV or on your computer. It's on your smartphone or your iPad. You subscribe to it, though. You can beam it to your TV at home, but it's fun to carry it around with you. It is completely something new out of the box for me. I'm an old guy, but this is what we're looking for. We're looking for new people who put stuff out there a new way, put it right in your hand, palm of your hand, walk around with it, take it to the gym, walk, you know, in bed, anywhere you want it. So how do you go about making an app? the mechanics.
I definitely did not code the entire app myself. I have some lovely developers that have helped out with that. Coding an app is a skill that I think a lot of young people should learn, but it's definitely not easy. It takes time. So we have some wonderful developers that work on this with us, and basically it's countless hours of code and a lot of technology that goes behind it, encoding media, et cetera.
Right. Okay. So you've been doing this about 3.5 years, and you are, where do you broadcast to? Where do you stream to? What are the areas in the world geographically that you put it out there?
Yeah. Absolutely. So we started in just U.S. and Canada, and that's where we've been this entire time. And then just as of April of this year, we expanded to 5 new countries. So we're now in Australia, New Zealand, the U.K. and Ireland, South Africa, as well as U.S. and Canada still. So we're growing pretty fast now.
Yeah, that is fast. Okay, so you're showing more inclusive stuff. I assume, you know, gay and lesbian women, go ahead. What are the rest of them?
Absolutely. Anything that is underrepresented in the media is what we consider inclusive. So that includes every letter of the LGBTQ spectrum, women in film, both in front of the screen and behind the screen, because that's a big area that's lacking as well, as well as indigenous titles, content about people with disabilities, also some intersectionality titles. So, for example, maybe someone who is Christian, but who is also LGBT, which is something that you don't see a lot of anywhere.
No. In fact, any sort of, you know, we've almost, the LGBT world has almost gone in the opposite direction because of people's early bad experiences, especially in the Catholic Church, in the Muslim world. So anything that's wonderful. I'm just blown away. I looked at your listings, they really do go from A to Z, every alphabet in the world. What's your favorite surprise breakout hit of all of them? Can you
think of one? That's a great question. That's a great question. I can think of one right off the bat. I absolutely love a series called Giving Me Life. The full title is Giving Me Life in the Land of the Dead Ass. And it's some wonderful creators. I believe they're from New York City. And they created a series featuring different LGBTQ people who are also POC, so people of color.
Okay.
So they're Black and Latinx perspectives on LGBT life. And I really like it because each episode is in through the lens of one of the different characters. So you kind of get to see different points of view. And it's kind of a comedy-drama blend, so it's a little bit of a mixture. I think people who like comedies may like it, and people who like dramas may like it. So it's kind of neat.
Right.
And I think a lot of times with the LGBT content, we see a lot of campy sort of themes in it, especially the older stuff. And this is a nice opportunity where we can see something that is the opposite of camp. It's very down to earth.
Yeah. Good, good. Yeah, I spoke to you earlier before during the warm up, and I've been doing this for about 5 or 6 years, but I've actually been interviewing authors since about 2000. I'm almost in the 20-year mark of interviewing gay and lesbian authors, and yes, it does get a little boring. I'm not going to get in trouble over that, because everybody does that, the coming out, the angst, you know, the whole thing. And not that it doesn't need to be told and need to be documented, but there's so much more. There's so much. The tapestry is so much richer. And I feel that we have been, as a cultural community, very lacking in what you just said. You know, people of color, indigenous, women on both sides, Latinx, Latinas, we really haven't had that voice at all. I mean, it has been almost like not a broken record, but the same story over and over and over again until very recently. And I'm very happy when you contacted me and I started doing a little research on you. I was very impressed. And I still am in speaking to you. I detect a Canadian accent. I'm pretty good at this. So you're from Canada,
I am,
right?
Canadian, yeah. I am from Canada. Okay. I grew up in Sudbury, which is about 5 hours north of Toronto. And then when I graduated high school, I moved to Toronto, and that's where I've been living for the past about 9 years. I just moved to New York in January. So.
Oh, okay. So you're really just getting used to the whole New York thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get a lot of time to get used to it because shortly after we came here, you know, the quarantine happened. So, but I'm looking forward to getting used to it once the quarantine's over. So.
I've forgotten because it's like wallpaper. The quarantine is just driving me crazy. But we won't talk about that. Maybe that'll be another series. I love the idea of the series. The series, you have several series. What are the other series that you have on your streaming service? I've got a few.
Oh yeah, we've got loads. Another one that I really love is called Two Self-Help Books to I'm butchering the title. Two Self-Help Books Away from Being Perfect.
Two Self-Help Books.
So it's a very long
books,
title, but it's hilarious. It's basically this girl who is terrible at finding someone to love. And throughout the series, we see her fail over and over and over and over again. And it's just so relatable because we've all failed. And I think a lot of times we watch these shows and, you know, people sometimes fail, but then they get their shit together. She doesn't.
Right.
She really, really doesn't.
Okay.
So it's kind of relatable. It's really funny. Lots of good moments.
Right.
Of course, I'm actually a filmmaker, so I actually have some of my content on there as well. So, for example, series So That Happened is something I created. It's a LGBTQ comedy series featuring a female lead. And I made sure to, you know, include some female representation behind the scenes as well with the producers and the cinematographer is female as well. Trying to, you know, do those angles. And then another one that I made as well is called It's Complicated. And it's a series about two gay guys that are in high school and they're figuring out their sexuality. And that also, once again, includes the angle of the intersection between LGBTQ and religion. So in this circumstance, he's Christian. That was actually quite personal for me because I actually grew up from a very conservative Christian upbringing. And for a long time I thought, well, you know, this part of me, the LGBT part of me, is something that I have to sort of choose, LGBT or, you know, the religion that my family raised me in. So I just wanted to show some perspective of like what that's like, especially for a teenager, because it's tough.
Sure. Yeah, it's very tough. I can totally relate. Listen, let me give a little shout out right now. We do take call-ins to the show to ask me or Matt Kai a question. The number is 563-999-3040. And just give us a call. We'll put you on the air. And you can ask me the question. You can ask it for Matt Kai. I know exactly what you're talking about. I actually was raised Black Cat Hasidic Jew and, of course, had to leave very early and quickly when my sexuality became too difficult to hide for me. And I did leave most of my beliefs behind and practice, and I'm just now getting back to it, which is kind of interesting because it's been hard. And it's very difficult to see I've never seen myself on the screen as a young person choosing. You know, there are some LGBT Orthodox Jewish things, but most of them are older, like when you're married or 20 years later or 4 years later. But you're right. The struggle of an adolescent coming to terms with religion and your sexuality is a very, very scary and difficult thing. I'm glad you're addressing it. Great. Okay, so personally, let's talk personal. You're pretty young. Where are you going to be in 5 years? What's this going to look like in 5 years?
That's a great question. You know, I'm not sure I know the answer, but I certainly love the journey I'm on. So I'm an entrepreneur at heart, and I actually had a business before this, which failed. And I'm very public about telling people that it failed because I learned a lot from it. And that failure is what has allowed me to be successful in this business. So I started running a drama camp for kids. And that's sort of what was my first business. It's where I learned a lot of what to do and what not to do. And from there, I decided to open up my own location so that I could offer year-round programs and stuff like that. Because it was just a summer camp, and that's where it kind of fell into the water. The cost became too high, et cetera, and I wasn't able to sustain it. So I learned a lot from that. So I think now I'm on a path where Fearless can grow, and Fearless is growing quite rapidly at this point. And hopefully in 5 years, we get to the point where, you know, Fearless is a name that everyone knows, that everyone knows that if they want to support this kind of content, that they can flock to Fearless. And I also hope that to some degree, the big players in the space, the Netflix and the Hulu and Disney and everybody else, I hope they also at some point pay attention to what we're, you know, all about. And hopefully they integrate these values into their own content as well. Obviously, there's some competitiveness to it, you know, because we want to succeed. But at the same time, at the end of the day, we just want these stories to exist. We want people to enjoy this content. And we want everyone to be able to see themselves on screen. That's the most important thing to me.
Exactly. And you are very unique because I went back. I in my little studies over the week, 10 days that we've been Instagramming and emailing back and forth. There's not anything like this. Did you know that? Did you know that you were the kind of the first of this?
Yeah, there really isn't anything like us, and that's kind of the reason I created it, because like I said, when I was originally making content, I was looking for this. I wanted to find this, and the truth is, had I found something like this, I probably never would have made this streaming service, truthfully.
There you go. Good.
So I made it out of a desire, you know, because it didn't exist, and there are some platforms that maybe showcase, you know, one element of it. You know, there's a couple platforms that showcase, you know, female content. There's definitely some that showcase POC content or, you know, specifically there's a platform for gay men only. But to me, that's not full inclusivity, like full inclusivity.
It is not.
And those platforms are great if people love them, and all the power to them. I love that there's lots of options. But we want to be something different. And we also want to give a voice to independent creators, because it's really hard to like make a film and get it on Netflix. It's not easy. It's not a thing that just kind of happens. And does it mean that their story isn't valid just because they didn't have a $1 million budget? No.
Right.
Some of these films, some of the ones with lower budgets actually are better than the bigger budget ones, quite frankly, when I'm reviewing them and such.
Sure. Exactly. I agree with you. Yeah. Well, you know, everyone's been yakking about the Ryan Murphy series that hit Netflix on Friday, Hollywood. But what I watched it and I went, eh. But this is not about that. But what you do notice is that for the longest period of time, all film was controlled by four or five major studios, which was four or five major people. And they had contract players and games you had to play with agents and managers and all sorts of layers of people before you even would even think of a screenplay or pitching an act or thing like that. So, yeah, I mean, we've come a long way.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I believe that that's not the way to get truly inclusive stories. The way is by letting independent creators tell them authentically, you know, in their own way. And also another thing that I often tell people is without network input. So what often happens with a Netflix series or a Disney series or whatever is that those networks, Netflix and Disney, et cetera, they provide a lot of input, network input. They change things, they modify things, they say, I want you to use this actor, not that actor, et cetera.
Right.
With independent creators, that doesn't happen. Everything on Fearless is made by those creators, and we never change their work. We never tell them what way to do it or how to do it or what. It's either, yes, it's approved for Fearless, or no, it's not. It's as simple as that. So, you know, these are authentic stories. Sometimes they're a little rough around the edges, but that's also kind of what makes them beautiful.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that's the answer, is that, you know, I'm not going to use the word censorship, but, you know, the one of the nicer things about the internet is we can say fuck and scream and do whatever you want, and it doesn't, oh, no, you can't say that, and you can't do this, and you have to have this, and you have to, you know, you have to cover this up, and you can't have frontal nudity, and you can't, but the internet has given us a freedom, but still, when you have Netflix, or Hulu, and even though you have that freedom, you're still putting the brakes on people. And I love what you're doing. I love what you're doing. It's a great idea because, you know, true change it comes hard, and this is part of it. Okay, so you are expanding all over the world. Pretty soon, it looks like you're taking over. So is there how do you do this by yourself? How many people are involved in this?
No, I definitely don't do this by myself. That would be, it would be virtually impossible.
I know.
It's a cute idea though, because I do like to consider myself a go-getter and a sort of a jack of all trades, but no, that wouldn't be possible. We've got a team of curators that help decide which content goes on Fearless. We have my co-founder, Deanna, works with me as well. And then we also have our development team and stuff. So, you know, each person, you know, brings a large element of this process to it. I kind of manage the overall vision behind it. But at the end of the day, it's a big team. And without the team and without Deanna, it wouldn't be possible. So it's really not just me.
Right. Okay. And are you all in New York City? Or are you all spread all across the country? Or how do you work it?
No, actually, we're actually a Canadian company, so everything's based out of Toronto. I'm the only one that's actually in New York City.
I moved
here because I thought it'd be good to get some new experiences and some new connections here in New York City. And my partner as well is a lawyer, so he got a job at a New York firm as well, so it was meant to be.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, so love and money, that's where you moved, right?
Love and money. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm joking. Anyway, but yeah, because, you know, today you can have, you know, collaboration worldwide instantly, just, you know, not just because of the coronavirus and Zoom, but people have been working, you know, remotely for you know, a dozen years now, and it's great. Super. So
yeah.
I have more questions. Okay.
Well, 95% of our team works remote, so
okay,
we already mostly remote before the virus hit.
Yeah, I figure because you are a technology company, so you know you need
exactly.
if you're not remote. So what kind of feedback do you get from your subscribers? I mean,
that's a great question.
You get well, good. I'm glad.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's a great question. So we've got a lot of feedback. In particular, the series is complicated because of the themes and the topics presented in it. We had a bunch of GSAs, Gay Straight Alliance, in high school that said, "Hey, can I stream this at our school's assembly?" And that was pretty cool. I was pretty inspired by that.
Wow.
That they found this and they wanted to showcase it. And so we let them. We didn't charge them a dime because we feel that it's important for that to happen. And we love the bravery. We love that it was, I think it was something like 7 schools in total. And out of those 7, five of them, it was the students themselves that had emailed me. So that's pretty awesome.
Great.
That's like, it that really is making
great.
An impact, which is good.
That's
yeah.
great. I'm a GSA advisor for a high school, and I know how hard that is. Yeah, so I know all about that.
That's
but
well, you're more than welcome to suggest that they showcase that in their assembly if they wish.
I sure will. Okay, so this was shown to the whole school or just to the GSA kids?
That's a great question. I think each school had a different setup. A couple of them, they were showing in the auditorium to the whole school, and I think a couple of them were doing it more like an after-school thing. So I'm not too sure. I don't know the specifics, but we just sort of said, yes, no problem, you can use it, and we gave them a sort of free license to do so.
Nice. That's great, because this is – and of course, that stimulates not only – discussion, but it also puts a spark in some young creative minds. There you go. You got your future.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, we have a film on Fearless actually that was made by a high school student. So that's pretty exciting. I was pretty proud when I saw it and I went, wow, this is really good.
And what's the name of that one? I'm going to write it down.
Unfortunately, I don't remember off the top of my head. It's a short film when we have thousands of them. So.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, your playlist is huge, so I didn't want. I thought you would like at the time. Okay. Well, that is amazing. So, I'm going to ask it. I was going to ask this at the end, but we're not at the end yet. But I'm going to ask it because it works in right here. Is what would you do if a young high school kid contacted you and said, "Matt Kai, I want to be just like you. How do I do it?"
Well, I would suggest exactly what that other kid did: make a movie. Start with making a movie. Even if your first one's not good, and let me tell you, I made some stinkers before I made some good stuff. You know, most of them I maybe put on YouTube and I took them down. They were so bad. So, no, I mean, just make stuff and fail. Be willing to fail because, you know, I failed with a lot of the films I made at first. I failed with my first business. It's okay.
Uh-huh.
And being honest about your failure, too. It doesn't have to be something you need to hide. Like, everyone fails and you learn a lot. I think you learn more through failure than you do through success. So,
exactly. Just like learning a new language, you know, you mess up when you learn a language, and that's how you learn, you know, the right grammar and syntax and pronunciation.
Exactly.
Listen, we're going to talk
I wish it was easier for me to learn a new language, though. That's a skill that I have not mastered yet.
Yeah, I'm trying right now too. Anyway, call in with questions for either me or Matt Kai at 563-999-3040. You can call at any time. I'll put you right on the air. That's interesting what you said about learning new stuff. And it's you know, I'm going to confess to you, I'm 69 years old and I had to learn HTML in order to do this show because I have to do my own show page and all that, the little pictures you see coming around. I had to learn how to put all that stuff up and they don't help you. I mean, so I had to take some hit and miss hours, hundreds of hours of just, you know, gibberish coming up on the screen. So it's not as hard as coding, but it is another language. And so I do understand, and you can learn at any age. I'm convinced of that. Personally, I've done some very amazing things, and every 5 years I do something really, really new and exciting. And I hope that the people that are listening will go to Fearless. It's an app. It's at Watch Fearless. We haven't done that. We have to tell them. It's at Watch Fearless, WATCHFEARLESS. It's on your show page. You can download the app right offline on fearless.li. And I just wanted to make sure. Okay. So what do you have to say in the last few minutes of this interview that will make people want to instantly go down and download and get your 2-week free trial? I'm doing your commercial.
Yes, that was sort of like a commercial. That was great. Well, you know, if you're not convinced yet, I don't know what to tell you, because, you know, it's all about inclusivity. We're hoping that we can allow everyone to see themselves on screen. And one of the things we did to make 100% sure that happens is we also have a feature. It's inside the app, and you can also access it from your computer as well on the web, is we have a feature where you can suggest a new title. So if there's any title you see anywhere on the internet that you think this is the kind of thing that should be on Fearless, you can suggest it. And, you know, we go through the process of contacting the copyright owners and stuff and figuring out if they're interested in bringing it to Fearless and that sort of thing. So we do that because, you know, maybe somebody hasn't seen themselves on screen, but they really want to, you know. And similarly, let's say they didn't know any movie that existed, but they said, you know what, I just really want to suggest a title that contains blank. Then our curators will actually try and find that sort of content, because every single story, no matter what it is important, and we want to showcase them all. That's our goal at the end of the day.
Yeah, and one of the things we did not I was remiss about saying is some of the inclusivity that you go after is disabilities and mental health, that does run through it, not just the neurotic stuff of, you know, day to day stuff, but some serious disabilities and some serious mental health issues, and this is again people that have. Want to see that there's been a big hole in the world. You just don't see it anymore. Nobody wants to touch some of these topics, and you've done a great job of bringing this forward. And I know why you're successful. And you have found a niche that nobody has. You've given people free rein. You've made it incredibly easy to work with technology. That's incredibly important for everybody. And you're really delightful to talk to.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate your glowing review.
Well, there you go. Again, we've got about a minute, little over a minute left. 563-999-3040. If your friends miss this and you want them to hear it, this link will be available. Matt Kaya will put it somewhere on his Instagram or Twitter or whatever universe he uses, and you'll be able to listen to it on a download. We also have Stonewall Live is on iTunes, so you can download about 95, 96, 7, 97, almost 100 interviews just like this one, and you can just browse around and find what you like. Matt Kaya, we are in the last 60 seconds. Go ahead, give all of your information on how to get a membership.
Sure, yeah. You can download the app for iOS or Android. You just search Fearless Movies on either one, and it'll pop right up. It's the icon with the green thunderbolt. Everyone always thinks it's a lightning bolt, but they're actually called thunderbolts, interestingly enough. I was corrected on that. That's how I know. You can also go to fearless.li if you want to check out what it's all about. And, of course, you can follow at Watch Fearless on pretty much all the platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, everything. Okay. And if you want to follow me, I'm at Matt Kai Burmaster.
At Matt Kai. Or contact me. Everyone knows how to find me. Thank you and good night. Good night, Matt.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.
Me too. Take care. Bye-bye.